Hey everybody, thanks for listening to iOS Dev Discussions. It's another episode of What I'm Working On. And this week, we got a bomb dropped on us. Chris and I were planning out the rest of the workload up until launch, and then we kind of got this new game mechanic dropped on us that really just really threw all of our plans for a loop. We talk all about that in the episode, that how obviously you don't want to be, you know, constantly changing your plan and building every new feature that comes, you know, that pops into somebody's head. But this was a special occasion where I felt like the idea was good enough that it was worth it for us to kind of throw everything out and start over. But we'll get into all those details during the show. Only a couple more episodes of What I'm Working On are left, because I am going to stop this show, at least in this iteration, when I leave Aluna on July 1st. So maybe four, maybe five episodes left of this series. I'll replace it with something else. Haven't figured that out yet, but it's going to be hard to talk about what I'm working on at Aluna when I'm really only working there like 1 or 2 days a week. But anyway, let's jump into the show. So I started off Monday pairing with Chris on an implementation to refresh our authentication token. Basically, for, you know, security reasons, we want to log the user out after X amount of days, whether that's 30 or 90. You know, we haven't quite landed on that yet, but that's kind of irrelevant. Basically, after a certain amount of days of not using the app or not logging in, we wanted to expire their token and make them re-log in. Again, security reasons. So the two things I worked with Chris on were, one, refreshing our authentication token every once in a while, and we'll talk about that in a bit. And then the other one was, if we got back a, I believe it was a 401 HTTP code, I could be wrong on that, but I think it's a 401, then we would log them out. That's like the unauthenticated user or something like that. So we had to log them out if we got that back on the home screen, because we always pull in a network call on the home screen to get the readings, so we're checking for it there. The only like kind of interesting thing here is we wanted to think of the most efficient way to refresh the authentication token, right? Because we could do it every time they visited the home screen, or, you know, put in a check to make sure it was the first time of the day they did that. That just felt more convoluted than necessary. So what we ended up doing was sending up a network call every time they did a successful reading to refresh their token. So as long as they do a reading once within 90 days, they're never going to get logged out. But, you know, if they don't use the app for 90 days, we're going to log them out. And again, that's like security stuff. So, you know, Chris hadn't really dealt with this authentication token type stuff before, so I paired with him to help him get through that. And a theme you may notice here starting this week is I'm really starting to put most of the work onto Chris, right? Because my last day, or I start going full-time July 1st, so we got about a month left, which is also a month left of this show. You know, I guess more on that in a later episode. But so I'm starting to really step back and let him take on the bulk of the work and really just kind of come in when he needs the help. So you might kind of see that themed in there. I wanted to put that out there so you didn't think like, man, Sean's just making Chris do all the work. Yeah, that's the point. I'm turning it over to him. So after I helped Chris with that, we found a bug in that, if you remember from a couple shows ago, maybe last show, they all run together, I can't remember, where I had to implement this check for 8 readings in 8 minutes. Remember I talked about like these rolling timers and it was kind of like an interview question that I had to implement. The thing with that was, is if a user like switches accounts, like I was just keeping track of that in like a singleton, right? But what I didn't account for was if the user switched to accounts, because we have the ability, you know, like a family could have multiple children with asthma, you know, so we have the ability to kind of switch accounts. But what I didn't account for, and it is an edge case, is if like during that 8 minutes, they switch to a different account, you know, I'm still counting those measurements as an 8 measurements in 8 readings. And again, the reason we want to lock them out is because, you know, we don't want the kid to be blowing 1,000 times in this device, getting shortness of breath, maybe even invoking an asthma attack, right? So we're kind of policing how many measurements they can do, because it is, I don't think I've ever talked about like the actual maneuver. Like you're supposed to take in the biggest breath you possibly can and exhale as hard as you can, as long as you can, right? So you can imagine you do that 8 times in a row in a very short amount of time, like you're gonna start to get tired and lightheaded. So again, we lock them out to police this to make sure they don't do too much. So yeah, when I set it up and got it working, I didn't account for the switching of accounts. So I had to adjust my solution to now basically attach an ID, a user ID essentially, which already exists, to the timer. So now I have like a reading timer object that has a patient ID, just an int, and then the timer, which is a timer. So now in my timer manager, Singleton, I'm managing, you know, multiple different timer sets, you know, with different patient IDs, et cetera. So it made it a little more complicated, not as complicated as I initially thought, though. Basically, I'm just passing around user IDs where I wasn't before and then doing some checks here and there to get through that. So, yeah, it is a really silly little edge case, but actually a user is the one that found it, right? They had two kids with asthma. One of the children, you know, got locked out, and then they switched to the other child's account, and they were locked out as well. So we definitely don't want that. So, and again, yeah, I went through that and fixed that little bug on Monday. And then Chris and I talked about another implementation where we're kind of screening the readings for certain acceptability, you know, measurements. This is all proprietary stuff. I can't get into that. But basically, we want to make sure our readings are checking all the acceptability boxes that we screen for. And, you know, we had to talk about that and how to implement that. So sorry to be vague, but, you know, can't talk about everything. And then Tuesday happened, kind of a bomb dropped on Tuesday. If you listened last week, you've kind of heard me say that there's been a lot of new features being added, and there's a whole lot of, you know, saying no and really trying to figure out how we're going to do this. And they're good features. I don't want to like knock them, but it's just kind of like late in the development cycle to be making these like sweeping changes. But at the same time, it is, you know, going to make a better product. So it's tricky. But anyway, a little stressful on the iOS side that we're trying to pack in all this stuff last minute, which is absolutely what you don't want to do. So we set up a meeting today to kind of really discuss how all these new features fit into the development schedule, you know, before launch. Like, what could we cut? You know, what could be pushed off to like a version 1.1 or a 1.2, like post launch. So we had this meeting scheduled for like 11. And to prep for that, Chris and I met for like an hour and a half to discuss like what we were proposed, like what's our idea of what we should build, right? Because anytime you go into a meeting, you don't want to like figure it all out in the meeting, because that's so inefficient, not going to work. You want to present your solution and then have the other members of the team, you know, potentially make recommendations or provide input. And again, as part of the turnover, Chris was going to lead this meeting. This was supposed to be like a very important meeting, kind of defining what we're going to work on up to launch. So really kind of, again, coaching Chris up on his communication skills, how you present the information, even the order in which the information was presented. There's a common thing in like presenting, right? Like tell them what you're going to tell them, and then tell them again, right? So you want to, I'm a big believer in communicating, like setting the context before you tell them, kind of give them a little preview, kind of alleviate any worries. And then, you know, dive in, you know, because oftentimes when you're like presenting, like a lot of the features we recommend cutting, I knew we were going to get pushback on. So like when you're saying like, yeah, we recommend cutting this feature, you kind of want to lead with, hey, I know you're going to have pushback, you know, hear me out, I have some good reasons, etc. Whereas if you just say, yeah, we want to cut this feature, you're putting the other person who really wants that feature like automatically on the defensive. So you kind of got to alleviate those worries. So this is kind of the stuff Chris and I were talking about in like how to present our solution, because again, this was, we knew we were going to be making cuts, we knew we were going to have to take trade-offs, we knew people weren't going to be happy with what we recommended. So how we communicated this was very important. And one of the things we were going to recommend cutting was kind of like our end game, right? Because it takes about a month to beat our game, and then we need some end game to keep the replayability going, because we want people to, you know, obviously continue using our product. And we were going to recommend pushing that back to post-launch, because obviously the players can't even, we gate our progression, so they can only get so far every day. So it was like impossible for them to get to the end game within the first 30 days. So logically we were recommending like, okay, let's push that off and we can build that real quick right after launch. But then the bomb dropped about 20 minutes before that meeting and this all went out the window. So our CEO was putting out some feelers to like, you know, some of her contacts saying, hey, we need some help kind of with our game and our end game and our story, because we haven't, we really need to nail that down. And I guess one of her contacts came back and with this really, really good proposal for like a new game mechanic in the end game. And like I said, it's super important for our app to be sticky and engaging past that first playthrough. And this is a really good one. And the problem being is that it really threw a wrench in things, because it's going to take, if we implement this game mechanic, it's going to take, and I'm being vague with it because we're still working out the details. I'll tell you about it once we figure it all out. But yeah, it kind of just threw a wrench in that whole thing Chris and I were planning on what we're going to build, what we're going to cut. That just all went out the window, and we're going to focus on this game mechanic. It's going to be an interesting next few weeks of development as we figure this out. Again, like I said, it's still kind of a fluid situation. The whole past 2 weeks has been weird. Like our development world has just been thrown upside down, which some of you out there listening may be like, oh man, that sounds like it sucks. But at the same time, in a small 5-person startup, you got to be agile. It does suck because you had a development plan, But at the end of the day, like, we're trying to do big things at Aluna, and you want to ship the best product, not, you know, stick with the original plan and not deviate from it. And it's kind of been my job to be the gatekeeper of new features. Of like, and trust me, I have said no a ton. I've kind of talked about it in this podcast throughout the weeks. But even I, when I heard kind of like this game, new game thing, I was like, ooh, that's going to be good. We need that. And like I said, at the end of the day, I'm here to help build the best possible product, right? And the end goal is for Aluna to do big, sell well, and potentially get acquired, you know, a few years down the road. That's kind of what we're shooting for. You know, Apple just acquired another pediatric asthma company this week. I'm not saying Apple's going to acquire us, but clearly they're looking to play in the space. So if we make some noise, you never know. So all that to say is, yes, you don't want to get in the habit of throwing your development plan out the window and just building every new feature that comes in. I am not saying that at all. But sometimes, if it's good enough, it's worth the, because it's going to be a pain in the ass to like, and we're going to have to work really hard. But I kind of, and I'm not saying I'm had the final decision, but I was definitely pushing for, yes, it's worth it. Let's throw our plan out the window, start over, and let's get this game mechanic in. Unfortunately for Chris, and I felt bad, but he understood. You know, he prepped for this meeting. He was planning his presentation, you know, because like I said, one of the things we're working on with him is his communication skill. Not that he's a horrible communicator, but it's very, very important if somebody leading development to be able to communicate with the rest of the team. So he had his whole presentation prepared, and then this bomb dropped like 20 minutes before the meeting and threw everything out the window. So I kind of had to like, you know, call a hot route, audible on the fly, and just kind of take over the meeting and run with it. So I felt bad for him, but he'll have plenty of opportunities to kind of practice that. But this was a very, very long meeting, and kind of like I already kind of spoiled it. The whole point of this meeting was to decide, hey, is this game, new game mechanic, worth it or not? And I was fighting for, yes, it is worth it. And I mean, anytime I really, you know, am willing to die on a hill, so to speak, like it's very logical and reasonable. You know, I don't like convince people of stuff that doesn't make sense. And it didn't really take much convincing. I mean, it's pretty clear that it's the best thing for our product. So we decided to build it. And yeah, the next few weeks of development are going to be kind of crazy, but I think it's going to be worth it. So that took up the rest of Tuesday afternoon. And then Wednesday is normally a day of meetings. And we actually added even an extra meeting, at least for me. So one of our biggest investor, I don't want to say, but he's the co-founder of a gaming company that almost every one of you out there have heard of, quite large company, but he is one of our biggest investors. So we wanted to run our game idea by him now that we decided to do this because he spent, you know, 2 decades in game development. So I got pulled into that 10 a.m. call with the CEO. Again, just because of my communication skills, she felt that I had a better understanding of the game. I was able to communicate that well. And then also, you know, I could talk about the limitations of development. Like if he were to bring out an idea, I could kind of immediately give feedback on the feasibility of implementing that. So again, I like to tell these stories just to show that, you know, when you are a vital part of a startup and you prove to be an asset, you're going to wear many hats. Like you've heard me talk about doing some designing. You've heard me talk about helping with hiring. Now here I am on calls with our main investor, right? And you know, if you just go into a small startup expecting to be, I'm just the iOS developer, that's cool. But it's probably going to benefit you if you can elevate yourself to a very important part of the company. It's just going to make your life better. And you're going to get more recommendations when you go further, and you're going to build your network. It's just, the more valuable you can be to a company, like just the better your life's going to be. I just realized that sounded like a very sweeping statement. Like all your life problems will be taken care of. I should have clarified. The better your work life will be. Let me clarify that. Oh, and I forgot to mention before that was the San Francisco cough up at 8:30 in the morning that they do on Wednesdays. This one was downtown, like 2 blocks from my office. So absolutely was going to make that. Got to hang out with Andy Hope of Facebook, Alfonso Sensley, longtime follower. Appreciate that. Got to see him for the first time in a while. So yeah, that's always a good time. If you're in San Francisco, you don't know about that, hit me up on Twitter DM. I'll tell you all about that. You should definitely come to that. Although it's starting to get big. We're starting to like outgrow a lot of the coffee shops we go to. But anyway, still fun. So when I got back from the coffee meetup, hopped on the investor call. We did get some good ideas for that call. Again, it's still fluid. We're not sure what exactly we're going to implement yet. And that rolled right into sprint planning, which again, continued to build on the brainstorming of this game mechanic. Because again, it starts off as like a vague idea. And then it's like, okay, what are the specific implementations? You know, what great ideas are we going to take? What ideas are too much, you know, for our resources and timeline? And then after that meeting, again, Wednesday, day of meetings, no code gets done. and a meeting with the founders to discuss my role going forward in the future roadmap of Aluna. I mean, as everybody knows, I'm going down to part-time, like 10 to 15 hours a week, at Aluna on July 1st. So I wanted to talk about kind of the future roadmap of products, how long they saw that role, you know, working out into the future, just kind of like the company's future, my future, and how those intertwined. Sounds like it's going to work out great. It was a great meeting, so the future's looking good. And then Thursday was a work from home day. I didn't do too much in regards to Aluna. I did have to help interview a UI UX person that we might be bringing in to help with some of these final screen flows we're looking to do. So I was part of that interview process, talking about kind of what screens we needed, what we were kind of looking to do with that, etc. And then by Friday, our new game idea starting to come together a little bit more. Chris and I had like a little whiteboard session again, where we got serious about mapping out what we were going to do. And we kind of realized we're blocked a lot by art assets. So we're trying to prioritize like, hey, what can we do without assets? And of course we could always use like placeholder assets, but we also want to be shipping like home user testing builds to our users to be testing. So the trade-off we're thinking about was like, okay, well, do we ship like temporary assets to our users? Like that kind of sucks. We don't want to do that. But if we don't do that, you know, we're going to manage two branches and feature flags, all this kind of stuff. So it's tricky. We're trying to figure out like, you know, how we're going to manage all that. But there are a few things we can do, you know, without assets that we're going to start doing. Mainly like we're going to have the ship animate on the map. I'm sure many of you out there have seen the map home screen with all the planets. You know, the paths in between the planets, we're going to have the little ship animating. So Chris is starting to work on some UI Bezier curve type stuff for the first time. So he's getting exposed to that. We're going to start implementing the plumbing, as I call it, for our story interstitials. You know, at key points throughout the game, we're going to pop up interstitials to, you know, show a little animation, tell the story, all that stuff. I got to start implementing some offline caching. So our app requires you to be online. So right now, offline caching of like anything isn't in the app. So if you take a measurement and you're not connected to the internet, it's going to say internet failed, measurement doesn't count, whatever. But what we want to do is have them be able to take the measurement, store all that data, and then once they get a connection, then send that up, you know, with like a batch upload. So we're going to work on that because that doesn't require like any assets. So that was the morning, kind of just hashing all that out with Chris. Got some good whiteboard work in with Chris. Again, I'm just trying to, we probably could have done this, you know, in our head or on paper, but I'm trying to help him like start getting experience doing stuff like whiteboarding sessions and planning stuff out. Again, I'm trying to make sure I get learning opportunities in like anytime I can with him. And then we had a welcome lunch for our new marketing like manager. That was like a long 2-hour lunch. Had some wine, you know, it was the Friday before a holiday, of course, you know. And then kind of like I mentioned earlier in the show, I talked with Chris about kind of my workload moving forward and how I want to start offloading it on him. And I just wanted to have this conversation because I believe in over communicating that like, hey, I'm not just like shoving all my work onto you. Like I'm starting to prepare for when I'm gone, like you're carrying the load. So we're trying to get into that work cadence right now so we can work out any kinks while I'm still here rather than, you know, after I leave. So after Chris and I kind of hashed out the workload moving forward on all these big features, kind of left early. You know, it was the Friday before Memorial Day weekend. Not much was going on. You know, I'm not going to start a big project at like 3 o'clock on a Friday. We just called it a week. And hope you enjoyed the episode. Only a few episodes left of this show. Because like I said, when I leave Aluna, I'm not sure what I'm going to do with this show. I'll probably replace it with something different. We'll see. Talk to you next time.